Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. I'm Julie Hayden. Chuck Bonniewell, my co-conspirator, is just wrapping some stuff up, and he'll be down here and join us here from the Chuck and Julie Truth Straight Up Grassroots Show World Headquarters in a second. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We'll talk about the Charlie Kirk Memorial, some of the great speeches there. Carolyn Leavitt goes scorched earth again at the press conference to her news briefing today. We'll talk about that, the whole Tylenol situation, but wanted to start off with just sort of breaking news here. Jimmy Kimmel, ABC announced, will be returning to his show tomorrow, Tuesday. They just simply said, in light of the comments he made that could be considered insensitive, we wanted to have a little bit of a cooling off time. And that was all that was said, right?
Jimmy Kimmel, and I've returned.
Yeah. They didn't say anything else about what was going on. And nor did Jimmy Kimmel. So there's no indication, Sinclair, which carries a lot of the affiliates, said they wanted an apology. They wanted all kinds of things. I'm guessing as affiliates, they don't have that much power.
Well, they don't have to run the show.
No, they don't. Next Star, no indication from them. So my guess is, I think there's a lot of stuff at play here. One, Jimmy Kimmel only has like a year left on his contract and his ratings are plummeting. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, they'll go up.
Well, here's the thing. If a fraction of the people who whined about him being taken off the air were watching his show, He wouldn't have such bad ratings, right? Maybe. So it's kind of funny. Maybe those people will tune in at least on Tuesday. But a bunch of Hollywood people, like anyone cares what they think. 400 A-listers send a letter to ABC, horrified that they'd pull them off the air. But I'm betting Jennifer Aniston doesn't watch Jimmy Kimmel tomorrow night.
I bet she does.
You think? I don't know. Well, maybe he'll. Well, I guess they want to increase his ratings. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if she has
become a hero. He'll become a hero. And in part because the Charlie Kirk thing itself, they want to have their own.
But my guess is shortly, just like Rachel Maddow, they'll all start plumbing again. It'll take a while, but first he's so political, but I just even think, that's a business model that doesn't work anymore. It's a dinosaur business model. Well, I mean, across the board, late night talk shows aren't doing well. Greg Gutfeld is doing well, but even that's compared. So anyway, he's back. We don't know what the terms are. It'll be interesting. I won't watch it. I never watched him anyway. Thomas is saying, I thought Sinclair said they wouldn't let him back on without a proper apology. Yeah, it's not clear. I mean, there are legal obligations between affiliates and the network, right? So I don't know how that might play out and how much clout Sinclair has to actually say, we're not going to play it. And ABC may say, well, you have to play it. So we'll see. And this from Jacob. If Jimmy Kimmel and his attorney felt this was a bad firing, they would be screaming lawsuit. I think they know that in the contract between Jimmy Kimmel and ABC, there is a clause saying you cannot lie. Well, and maybe not even a clause saying you cannot lie. I mean, as Chuck and I know, if you say something that people get all riled up about, the employer can fire you. I mean, it's not they were blaming the FCC and they were blaming Trump. And it was like ABC did that. Now, granted, ABC and the NFL and Disney and all those people, Next Star.
I think there's a huge boycott of Disney. And Disney is already getting boycotted from the right. And it really couldn't afford to get boycotted from the left and the right.
Yeah.
So I think they feel, hey, we can't win. Let's just cut our losses and bring them back.
Yeah, and I wouldn't really be surprised at anything. I wouldn't be surprised at a really lame apology. I wouldn't be surprised if he just moves on. You know what I mean? And they pretend it never happened. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, he's back. This is Thomas. I wonder if all the people who are advocating for Jimmy Kimmel and speaking heated debates online will end up watching his return. I find it as unlikely as it's just virtue signaling. That's what I kind of think too. They may watch the first night or two just to show how popular he is, but then they'll quit watching.
Well, he's not very good.
No, he's not very good. His contract's up in a year, so we'll see. We'll
Yeah,
see.
they'll leave him on for a while, and it's the all left will all celebrate and go ahead and celebrate. I mean,
Yeah, no one's still watching. It's like
and the A-listers on who we no longer want to watch, or he
they're paying attention
anticipate,
to.
or
Right, right,
one more
right.
in any
Meanwhile, I
case.
saw pictures. Michelle and Barack Obama are at Steven Spielberg's yacht. So they clearly were not devastated by Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know.
Sure, they
I'm not
were.
sure where his yacht is and what kind of reception they get, if they'll be able to tune in tomorrow. I don't know. They haven't indicated what they're going to be doing there. But wanted to talk a little bit about the Charlie Kirk memorial. I mean, what's so interesting? Well, there's so many things. I mean, I did not watch it all. I just watched clips and things like that. But apparently, over 100, first it was a packed stadium. Over 100 million people at least were streaming it or watching it in
Right.
one way, shape, or form. And that says a lot. And if you were, and then Congress, they passed the resolution, which half of the Democrats didn't. But the whole thing, it really did, I believe, it is a turning point. For the United States and for the right and the left. I think the right, well, I think, and I'll play a soundbite here from Donald Trump. You summed it up. It's like, of Charlie Kirk was none of the things they said he was. And they just, this kid, like I said, who probably never even watched Charlie Kirk, shoots him and kills him. Egged on and encouraged, with the hatred by a whole bunch of other people who probably never ever watched Charlie Kirk. And I mean, it's just the whole thing. There's so many levels of sadness, but there were a lot of great speeches. And Trump said one thing, and I think this is one of the reasons I think it kind of resonates with so many people. And that is, I think people took it personally because it was meant personally. The left, it basically has been saying, if we don't like you, and if we don't like what you're saying, and if we disagree with you, any level of violence is okay. We can get you fired. We can, shoot and kill you. And a significant percentage of the people on the left think that that is okay, right? And so Donald Trump, Thomas, if we could play the Trump soundbite, this is what Trump had to say at the memorial.
Every single American should take a long, hard look at the twisted soul and dark spirit of anyone who would want to kill a young man as good as Charlie. To kill anybody, but to kill a man like this, he didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. Our country didn't deserve this. And anyone who would make excuses for it are just out of their mind. Charlie's murder was not just an attack on one man or one movement. It was an attack on our entire nation. That was a horrible attack on the United States of America. It was an assault on our most sacred liberties and God-given rights. The gun was pointed at him, but the bullet was aimed at all of us. That bullet was aimed at every one of us. Indeed, Charlie was killed for expressing the very ideas that virtually everyone in this arena and most other places throughout our country deeply believed in. But the assassin failed in his quest because Charlie's message has not been silenced. It now is bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and it's not even close.
And I think that's true. I think the message is, and the mission will obviously.
Let's talk about that. I mean, Charlie Kirk wasn't just a symbol. He actually put together an incredible organization, largely in part reflecting his own debating skills and his own tenacity and a lot of other things. He was sort of a unique person in that sense, where somebody else can't just go in and fill the void. Rush Limbaugh got off the air, and everybody said, "Well, okay, well, we'll have somebody else who will now take over the golden microphone," and they haven't. I mean, there's been no one, absolutely no
Well,
one.
no one has taken it. I think there are many voices now, but you're right. Rush Limbaugh was
No,
a.
there's not. I mean, the two people who replaced them are nothing. There's been no other
No, but what I'm saying is there are other concerns. You've got Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Steve Bannon. No, they have not
None of
replaced
those.
him. What I mean is there's a bigger, I think Rush Limbaugh laid a groundwork for conservative.
He the only radio program that had anyone listening to him was Charlie Kirk after Rush Limbaugh. He's the only one. The only one I could stand. I mean, if you just
But
take
I'm talking
the
about
vast,
podcasts too. I mean,
well, yeah, but let's talk about radio. I mean,
okay.
and nobody's replaced him, and nobody really can. He had a unique skill set. I think Charlie Kirk has a unique skill set, and I don't know if anybody can replace him. In some sense, the Republican Party desperately needs reach out to colleges and university to counteract the left stranglehold on all the students. And I think Turning Point USA, with the help of maybe people like Elon Musk and everything, it's going to have a lot of money to do that reach out. But I'm not sure anybody can replace Charlie Kirk. I don't really think this is one of those times where everybody says, "Okay, let's bring it back. We've gotten too extreme." I don't think that's true. I think the left will continue to be the way they are. I think that they'll bring back Jimmy Kimmel, and he'll be, after maybe a week or two of being slightly less inflammatory, go back to being totally inflammatory. I don't think this really stops anything. I think it's a It's just it's a point, and it's an important point, but I don't think it's a changing point. I don't think it's a turning point.
Disagree a little bit in that for the first time, really, the right has pushed back and said, okay, here are the people who are celebrating it, right? So you have doctors and nurses and teachers and Secret Service agents and people in the military losing their positions for the kinds of things that the left had been making sure that the right lost their positions for, right? Anytime. And so, when they keep calling it censorship, it's like, it's not censorship. To me, people get censorship. Censorship is like when the government or, tells you First Amendment, right, that you can't say something, the government punishes you. If your employer, I mean, that's just part of it. We were saying, if I worked at a retail store, right, and everybody who came in, I said, oh man, you are so ugly, you are fat. I can't even believe it.
I don't sell you that
Yeah,
good.
the driver, right? I mean, if you treated your customers like that, you would get fired, and you couldn't turn around and say to your employee, "Oh, I have a First Amendment right to insult all the people who come in here." No, it's kind of like the people at Starbucks. They're suing over a dress code at Starbucks. Starbucks is like, no facial tattoos or facial piercings, right? And it's like, I'm sorry, they're the employer. They have the right to say that. And so, he wasn't being censored. He said something that millions of people were appalled by and horrified by, and the TV stations pushed back, and ABC responded, and now he's back in the air. But I think, though, before the right, we just took it, right? And I
That's the
think,
biggest difference. I think the left will continue on with its extreme
right.
everything. I think the right has figured out that, that we've been in a war for a long time, except we didn't seem to recognize it,
Right.
and we always had plenty of rhinos to tell us that we really shouldn't be mean. I think this is an indication that you're really in a war, and those of It's going to continue.
Well, yeah, when you have people like Jeff Hurd, our rhino rep from CD3, who says, oh, no, I'm not going to censor Ilhan Omar, right? It's like, right, okay, goodbye, right? I think, you don't get what's going, well, or maybe you do, and maybe the Americans for Prosperity just are, pulling your pocketbook strings enough so you do whatever they tell you and you do get it, but you just, abdicate any kind of moral or ethical sense. But I think for the most part, you're absolutely right. It's a war, and they recognize that. And not only that, but the left, in their own way, unchecked, have just gone totally bonkers and violent, right? And Carolyn Leavitt, I mean, they keep trying to say, oh, it's on both sides. It's like, no, it's not on both sides. And Carolyn Leavitt at the news conference today really laid this out. Thomas, if we could play the Leavitt soundbite.
Has been coordinated campaigns dating back years, spearheaded by radical left-wing organizations centered on dehumanizing, intimidating, doxing, and even attacking Americans whom they disagree with. These groups have radicalized impressionable individuals to foment violence. An attempted transgender assassin traveled to Justice Brett Kavanaugh's family home with plans to end his life. An attempted assassin came within an inch of ending President Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania. And on the campaign trail, another attempted assassin tried to kill the president at his golf club in Florida. A left-wing assassin shot UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson right in the back in the heart of New York City. ICE agents are facing a more than 1,000% increase in assaults for simply doing their jobs. Violent radical left-wing mobs engaged in illegal behavior, targeted Jewish Americans, and shut down America's college campuses under the previous administration. Left-wing mobs burned down Tesla dealerships out of, quote, protest of Elon Musk and his policies. In May, a left-wing activist shouting Free Palestine murdered two innocent Israeli embassy staffers outside of the D.C. Jewish Museum here in Washington. These are just a few examples, prominent examples, of the growing left-wing political violence in our country.
I mean, and you could go on and on. Somebody else shot up a wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Just this weekend, saying Free Palestine. And you know, they have no idea what Free Palestine is. So, you know, I think that it started with Antifa and it's turned more into a trans-tifa. But you've got, you know, George Soros and other people funding these NGOs, and they advocate violence, right? And then you've got the left saying that's okay. So, you know, people being held accountable. It is interesting, though, the guy who was accused of trying to, or I guess, attempted assassination of Trump at the golf course. His trial is going on. You see nothing on that. Nothing on this. So the prosecution wrapped up its case. He's going to present apparently three witnesses, two firearms experts, and I guess a character witness. And it's not clear if he's going to take the stand. But nothing on that, right? Can you imagine if somebody had been attempted to assassinate Biden? Right. That, I mean, it would be, and it was a Trump supporter, right? It would be all over the place. They would never stop it, right?
Well, you know, it really is amazing, and I do think it's good that Trump has said, hey, we're going to look at who the funding source is. Because we brought this up before. We've been in the maelstrom of that.
Right.
We were in the maelstrom at an ICE event, but more importantly or more vividly was the one downtown where the Antifa really just bashed into the lines. They'd throw punches at you. The police were intimidated by them. Police were afraid of them. And these were organized groups.
Oh, yeah.
They were fully funded.
Right.
And, you know, Biden was not going to do anything about it if not funding them themselves.
Well, the government was funding the NGOs, yeah, right? That's where the money was coming from. So
yeah, so it's I think it's going to be different. I think they are going to go. And I've always wondered why George Soros seems to be immune from spreading revolts and everything else all across the world. And what he would do, which is incredible that he could get away with it, they'd have some country and they decide they need regime change. And so they do a color revolution and they would put a lot of money into street protests at the same time, because the administration of that state was wobbly. Soros would go in and start arbitraging the currency and make...
As one does. Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, very similar. Maybe she got in the action. Making millions. I mean, it was a perfect deal. He could do whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted. It was great for business.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alexander, I think that's his name of his son.
Yeah.
You know, Soros would get away, and you'd always read in the New York Times, humanitarian,
yeah.
George Soros. What's the humanitarian part?
Right.
Satanist, maybe.
And here's from, okay, this is from Jacob. So Jacob has a Eartha Kitt at the White House in January of 1968, attended a women doers luncheon hosted by First Lady Bird Johnson. When asked about the Vietnam War, Kitt voiced her anti-war sentiments directly, stating that young men were rebelling because they were being sent off to be shot and maimed in a war they didn't understand. The First Lady was reportedly moved to tears by her impassioned comments. Following the incident, Kitt was blacklisted from working in the United States and her performance was canceled. It was later revealed that the CIA had compiled a dossier on Kitt, and though President Johnson had once praised the politically critical Smothers Brothers, he is said to have personally ordered that Kitt be made unemployable. Johnny Johnson said, I heard about her being blacklisted. And then he says, Charlie had the ground game to get out the vote. We need many people like this in 2026. And then Jacob, make Ocasio-Cortez 10 bars again. And Johnny, the evil has always been here, but now we have the internet and we see it and hear it much more clear. I think that's true. I think a couple things happen. One, I think we cannot underestimate Elon Musk taking over Twitter and pushing back and allowing people to, the free marketplace, right? I think we cannot overestimate Facebook acknowledging that the government, the Biden administration, told them to censor and cancel people. So stuff that we all thought was happening, we found it was absolutely true. And I think that degree of censorship is far less. So it's easy to get that dissenting opinion out there anymore. And I also think at the same time, Chuck, I think the left just they've just gone bonkers, right? I mean, I think the trans thing, I think the George Floyd riots, when they had the riots in California, even just recently, who was it? Stupid ABC reporter said they're just out in the streets watching cars burn, kind of like you would stand around your barbecue. I said, what? I don't mean the barbecues you go to, but that level of ridiculousness, right?
Well, it's no different than I think it was the ABC also. We had the reporters saying, "Oh, this is very touching with the Charlie Kirk assassination, his gay lover." Well, anybody that read those would kind of go, "No, they're not. There's nothing, what are you talking about?"
Said, and the memes were funny. Like they showed Jeffrey Dahmer on the phone, my love, look in the refrigerator, right? It's like, I'm from Johnny Johnson. Antifa is here in Denver running nonprofits. Like this one lady, yeah, Representative Lorena Garcia. She says she's Antifa. She's a local politician, and she's also running an NGO, and she's Antifa. So it will take a while to undo all of that. And it will take a well, and I mean it's the swamp and it's the deep state, right? So it's like a whack-a-mole. You hit one, I think another will come up. But I think people are just much more aware now. I think like Johnny said,
Well,
it's
but and I think even Trump expressed it in a Truth Social post. There's been no nothing, not a single person indicted, and it's been 6, 9 months.
yeah,
And
hello, Pam Bondi.
and the sad part is that you would think that Trump wouldn't have to do that publicly. That's the kind of thing you don't do publicly. You just tell somebody who tells somebody who tells her. You don't just go out there in public and say it. But Trump can't help himself, so he went out and said it. But it is that they can't seem to ever move. And when they move with
Well,
just
there's a reason there's a uniparty, right? I think, if you're the uniparty, you know that Trump is a unicorn, right? And he's going to be gone now in, 3.5 years. And I think a lot of those people are just positioning themselves for later. I think what's interesting is the Trump administration announced today, and I think it's Larry Ellison. So you've got David Ellison, the son, who now controls CNN, CBS, and sort of that. You've got Larry Ellison, I think his Oracle is at it, and they're going to be working with the TikTok in the United States. I mean, frankly, it sounds like a worky-worky deal, but at levels, I have to admit, way above my pay grade. But so TikTok, I think we all forgot TikTok was supposed to go away, and they're going to do something where Larry Ellison can have the algorithm and keep an eye on it, and so the U.S. government can spy on us. I think is what that's about. I mean, in the meantime, you do have them.
Who do you trust more, the CCP or the U.S. government?
It's like, well, not so much Trump, but the people that that they feed all that data into the
Oh,
NSA.
you're talking about the deep state, and one a perfect example of that is the Eastern District of Virginia, which is the only place you could bring charges against any of the people involved in the Trump Russia one, because you can't bring in D.C. Because that's the D.C. Circuit, all lefties and so forth. So you have to bring it in the Eastern District, which is part of the Fourth Circuit. And so they get a guy, Siebert, who Trump identifies. He says, "Wait a minute, well, who said we ought to do that guy who came with glowing recommendations from the two U.S. senators?" Glowing recommendation of the two senators. And of course, they're not going to bring any charges against our fine New York State Attorney General, Letitia James. And I'm not going to bring any for anything. And if other than Trump, that would have been the end of it. That is, oh, well, we tried, but we can't. And At least Trump says, no, you're fired. And he'll bring somebody else in and they'll,
They'll
the
trick him
courts will
again.
try to block it and everything else. But as often and as time after time after time, they should have a entire investigation of how was it that all of a sudden this guy was going before, he'd been the temporary and going before Congress, Senate to be confirmed. How did he get that position when it's so critical? I mean, it's not like, okay, the Western District of Missouri, nobody really cares. But for that position, which everyone should have been patient, which is another attack on Pam Bondi, to tell you the truth, because Pam Bondi's got to be the one who's looking at that. She's got to be the one who is determining who are U.S. attorneys and not U.S. attorneys.
Yeah. Well, here's from Charlene, was Trump's denouncement for the MAGA base consumption while he wink winks at Lindsey Graham's Bondi. And then she says Susie Wiles needs to go. And Johnny says before they go, we need clear replacements for them. I think one thing to keep in mind is that everybody, not everybody has, I was going to say, everybody has different agendas. I think everybody has different priorities. I think that, because you read, I mean, the conservative treehouse kind of goes after Susie Wiles a lot. He says she's kind of controlling what Trump hears and what doesn't he doesn't hear. And I think Susie Wiles is probably doing her best to keep the Trump presidency moving forward. She may not care about Jeff. I mean, so what she cares about or doesn't care about, I think she's just trying to keep it going.
Well, she's been in recommendations. I forget who the congressman from Florida, Walz, and he took over. I can't what entity he was in charge of, the DNI or something.
I think
But he was a Susie Walz,
Miles.
Wiles
Well,
recommendation.
say though, Trump does seem to. I can't imagine what it's got to be like to be him. You've got so much coming at you. Then Charlie Kirk gets assassinated, right? And now he's over at the UN. But the UN is playing games because they want to hold the peace talks with Gaza, like on Rosh Hashanah. It's like, really? Well, how could you have a peace talk when one side can't be there? But for the other side,
Easy, that makes
free
sense.
Palestine, it's like, I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but it's like, if you've got Trump, you've got all of this stuff, and sometimes.
But what he doesn't seem to have, and he's never had, and Laura Loomer keeps on trying to tell him, you need somebody like me. But it does need somebody who's going to, not check everyone, because that's check all the key ones and
Right.
not just kind of go, oh, okay.
There should be a key.
And when somebody gets rejected, see who's the next in line. And they tend to be, you reject one and then you get reject Bork and you get a Kennedy. And you got to really worry about not just the picking of Bork, but the picking of when Bork loses, picking of
Right.
Kennedy.
Oh, Charlene says it needs to be Matt Gaetz. He's been, I have, that's a good point, Charlene. Well, I mean, I haven't heard anything
No.
about Matt Gaetz. So I don't know. Is he waiting in the wings? I don't know if he's just, and granted, not that I keep track totally of everything in the whole world, but
You try.
I try. I do my best to try. I don't know. I think right now, like I said, I think Trump has so many things going on. And he got, I mean, he trusts Susie Wiles. Sometimes you think Barron seems to give him good advice when
Well,
Barron is like,
Barron gives everything. But Trump makes so many
Okay,
bad
Jacob,
choices.
thank you. He's running for governor in Florida. And Charlene, Trump has actually controlled the big stuff, but gives the appear oh is controlled on the big stuff, but gives the appearance of being his own man. Well, I think he's controlled by the flow of information. And I to a great extent, I think what Trump continues to do well and always does well is the messenger, right? I mean, he's the messenger, and he talks about the deep state. And you're right, the doing is much more difficult. But we got Jacob raising his hand. Hey, Jacob, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Two things. Yesterday, I was watching the Charlie Kirk thing for a little bit, and the Democrats are saying, "Well, it's on both. It's bad speech on both sides now. We both have to calm down." But I'm thinking to myself, "Yeah, but it's always the far left that's pulling the trigger."
Exactly.
To go
Exactly.
through every assassination in this country, it's always the left wing.
Wow.
It's from Abraham Lincoln to John Kennedy, to Ronald Reagan. Even Ford. What was her name? Squeaky something?
Squeaky Fromm.
Squeaky Fromm. But it's all the left, the far left. So yeah, we can calm it down, but it's one side that's pulling the trigger. The other thing is, I saw a great article yesterday by Victor Davis Hanson. I can't find it. It was on Real Clear Politics about the Tina Peters case.
Oh.
And he was breaking down how what she did really ruined it for the elites. You know, that she broke down, she actually broke down and defined how the machines work and how they move votes from one side to the other. And I can't find it.
You can't find it again? I know. Try, look in the Gateway Pundit does. I'll look for that.
That's where I didn't was. See. Oh, yeah. You're so smart. Okay.
The Gateway Pundit does a good job on the Tina Peters stuff. You know who else is doing a good job of the Tina Peters stuff? I've talked about him before. He was one of the Doge kids. It's Echo, EKO on X. He has a new one up. He had an interesting thing about a deep state thing. Then he kind of went off on a tangent on a religious aspect. And I got to admit, I didn't read that. But he's got some good stuff up on Tina Peters' case, too. And he kind of gets into the weeds in a good way about the computer stuff. So there you go.
All right. I'll look it up.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Jacob. Thank you. From Charlene, the powers that be have successfully got us divided into us versus them. Yeah. I mean, you look at Colorado, Republican Party politics. It's there. Which I want to talk about a little bit, but I wanted to bring up one other thing. And I haven't seen whether they've actually had the news conference yet or if they have, I haven't seen it. But apparently today, at least there's a lot of talk going on that Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are going to link Tylenol, taking Tylenol during pregnancy to autism. It's not like they're going to link it. They didn't come up with this, but they have research that they're going to talk about linking it. And, you know, here's what I wanted to say about this. So I saw the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says, that's absolutely not true. Tylenol, which we've been giving people for years, is just fine. Okay, so my first thought there was, well, what are they going to say, right? They're not going to say, well, at the behest of the pharmaceutical industry, we have been knowingly giving Tylenol to women so that their kids have autism, because then we can even more help the pharmaceutical industry by now having autism drugs, right? It's like, and ADHD drugs. So it's like, you know, but the other, so, you know, you got to question their motives and all these medical organizations that are come up saying, that's a lie. It's a lie. Tylenol is going to sue the president, Trump's administration, blah, blah, blah. Tylenol stock dropped. But
I bet.
But here's the thing I wanted to say about it, and that is, I don't believe any of them, right? It would not shock me at all to find out that Tylenol knew that, you know, that it caused autism, and that the government knew it caused autism, and that all pharmaceutical, big pharma industry knew that it caused it, and that the ad agencies that promoted it knew that it caused autism and didn't care and gave it to us anyway. I mean, after COVID, I don't trust any of them. You can't, you know, they told us you can't use ivermectin. They told us 6 feet.
They still do.
Yeah, they still do. They keep telling us to get the shots, even though they know that it causes all kinds of problems.
Got placed saying, you know, a 6-month-old should get a COVID shot. I mean, what sort of insanity is that?
Right, right.
And it can't just, they're all bought off, because many of them are, but it's just, it's so weird. I mean, it's just, you trust no one, and you know, probably it's one of those things where if you're absolutely objective and you had 100 objective people looking at it, you know, maybe be 50-50 or something.
Well, do you even trust the tests, right?
No,
I mean,
no.
Like, you know, it's like we were, there was one time we did it, and it was a good book. It was the Colorado Lifestyle, something like that, Colorado Diet. Anyway, it's about like, don't overeat sweets, right? And you'll lose weight, and particularly if you exercise. But it was sponsored in part by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what could go wrong with that? But it's, you know, you just, I'm glad Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at least appears to be asking the right questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was reading somebody saying, well, it can't be Tylenol. The autism has been diagnosed since 1935, and Tylenol didn't even hit the market till this. And it's like, I don't think they're trying to say it's the only thing that causes autism. I think what they're saying is there is research that indicates that that there could be a connection. And then I was reading other stuff where women said, so now what? This is an attack on pregnant women. Like the left hasn't attacked pregnant women and pregnant persons. But it's, saying, now what can women take when they have a headache in pregnancy? It's like, and once again,
Take some laudanum with the bakery or
yeah,
something.
here's the thing, the powers that be and the elite so hate Donald Trump that he could come up with a miracle cure for every cancer known, and they would bash it and refuse to let us take
Oh,
it,
yeah,
right? I mean,
absolutely.
so that's why, I don't know, we'll see what comes out of this Tylenol thing, but it does strike me as funny. But I, to me, it seems like there are probably a lot of factors. I think people are paying more attention to it now. I imagine that there's some NGOs that get a lot of funding for autism, so we need more people to have autism. I mean, the whole thing, I guess, is a scam to a certain extent,
Well, there is no science anymore. There's just opinions, and I guess that's always been the case. That's always been, is a steady state or is a big bang? And you're always debating and going back and forth. And generally speaking, you get a consensus, and once you get the consensus, some science comes in to overthrow that consensus. The problem is there isn't enough concern by the Association of Pediatrics and other guys.
Care at all what they're
They
doing to
don't
us.
kind of go, huh?
We should look into that.
Yeah, why don't we all look into that? And is there a safer drug? And I guess Tylenol hasn't been around since time immemorial. So, what did pregnant women do before
They
getting
just had headaches.
autistic kids? Yeah,
Yeah.
they had headaches.
Well, and this from Johnny Johnson. They got the money, so they have to run the commercials. Even at King Soopers, you hear, get the jab. Exactly. I've shown a long time ago that people in hospice are giving Tylenol when their funding reaches its end. It's literally a death sentence. Excuse me. It's literally a death sentence. It attacks the liver and the patient dies in weeks. A simple counter is to take milk thistle. It counteracts the effect of Tylenol on the liver. Jacob, I'm told now that France cannot collect tariffs in the United States. There's no money for social medicine. Whatever the government says we know is good for you, I always run the other way. Well, exactly. Well, you look at the whole Western medicine thing, right? It's like, okay, this is the way Western medicine treats it. It's like, okay, well, you have a headache, so here's some Tylenol, right? It doesn't take any kind of look at why do you have the headache, right?
It just
Take
looks at the symptoms. It then categorizes the symptoms into a definable set of phrases or a phrase, and then it tends to seek to counteract the symptoms. Never does it actually go and try to correct what's wrong. So
And
if
that's
you get cancer, you get chemotherapy. The trouble is, it's not going after the cancer. It's in fact. Nothing is being done for what's causing the cancer. And that's the trouble with most Western medicine is that
right.
it's either surgery, which has its own interesting effects, or it's drugs. I mean, it's
Well, and then they have to give you other drugs. We've got a friend who has restless leg syndrome, right? So they give him drugs for that. But then that makes them sleepy. So then they give them other drugs for that. I mean, so all of a sudden you go, and but again, no one stops to say, well, what's causing that?
Well,
That,
they say we don't know, so here, take it.
yeah, it's like, well, you didn't even try. So again, Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine, there, that kind of stuff, they do tend to aim as much as they can at like, what is causing this imbalance in the body, right? Like you said, what did women take before Tylenol? I mean, I'm sure they and the babies all survived,
Well,
right?
some of them
Yeah. I don't think anyone ever died of a headache, and nothing that
Well,
Tylenol would
probably
have cured.
did.
So, do you want to real quick, because I have to get out early. Once again, I have to go pick up Rev. Did you want to talk about the State Central Committee meeting is coming up this weekend, where they're going to talk about the some roughly 500 members, of which we are, of this
Two of them.
two of them, Republican Party, going to talk about voting again on opting out of the
And
disastrous
also getting rid of
primary.
the attorney, Clenda, who has billed the party hundreds of thousands, or well over 100,000 for simple motions. They control the meeting, the establishment does.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling it'll be a disaster.
My guess is we won't get to opt out. even though we want to.
No, we don't keep dolphins.
Well, I go back to my thing is I think the whole push again is to have jungle primaries in Colorado to get rid of the political parties altogether. So some of it won't make that much difference, but it should be interesting to see. I know Mark Hampton was saying he wanted to try to force a recall vote. The rules came out and said you can only bring up something that's on the agenda. Which, in fairness, I think Dave had rules like that too, right?
No, sure.
I
and
mean,
quite frankly, if you recalled the chair, who would take that position? No person in the right mind. You're now talking about an organization that's bankrupt and getting more bankrupt.
But yeah, because we have to pay Britta Horn's personal attorney even more money now for more legal filing. So,
and Britta Horn is an amazing clown. I mean, just literally amazing. And then you got Buckwheat is the vice chair, and then you got Russ Andrews as the secretary. I mean, it's just, and all the people like Coors.
Fortunately, though, we're in a ceasefire while they sue us.
They could. Let's have a ceasefire, or we keep on firing at you. I mean, it's just.
So we'll talk more about that on Wednesday, because I think there is a lot at stake there for the future of the party. I don't mean to be depressing, but I think it may not matter that much. But finally, from Jacob, I do not think the police ever found out who poisoned the Tylenol capsules. I don't think they did.
No,
I don't think they ever did figure that out. That hurt Tylenol stock too.
Yes, it did. Well, this will hurt a lot more, but it's amazing. But the Republican thing, where does the Republican Party do or go? It can't win statewide offices. I always thought the fact that we had, ever since we've had open primaries or semi-open primaries with ballot harvesting and everything else, that made the difference. But the Magellan strategies pointed out that really, we're at seven, if you take the average person in the state, he's a center-left independent. That's who he is.
Well, God bless your hair. I do want to keep going. I need to head
no,
out.
No, you can stay for another 5.
Okay, so we will. We will talk more about that again, because I have to pick up Rev and get him to practice, and you don't even want to hear about my afternoon. But it was wonderful to spend the time with you, and thank you all there. And I think we're going to institute Party Wednesdays now, since we aren't doing Friday. So it'll be Party Wednesday. We will see everybody on Party Wednesday.
All right, everybody, take care.
See y'all.